Well, good evening. How's everybody? Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to finish up the first six chapters of Daniel and go on to the next six. They have entirely different meanings and prospects and where they come from. And tonight, as we look at Daniel, he's a man that's above 80 years of age, and he's one of Darius's top men in his cabinet. Darius came in on the scene whenever the Medes and the Persians overthrew the kingdom of Babylon, the empire that they thought would never fail at the hands of the Medes and the Persians. Nebuchadnezzar's out, and Darius is in. And so we see what Darius has to do here. He's on an appointed assignment here. He's not chosen by the people. And so we'll understand a little bit of what's happening in his heart and his life. But you remember Darius from previous had three top officials: himself, his son, and then Daniel. Remember that from last Sunday night? And so Daniel was working with those that did not believe in his God, and trying to get them to understand the one true God in his heart and his life concerning this. And so in doing so, you know, man, how could you not, after knowing that he'd been thrown into that fiery furnace, and along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the things that's happening in his life here tonight with the lion's den, not believe in the one true God. But just like so many today that we deal with in our hearts and our lives, they refused to let Daniel in their hearts and their lives. Daniel excelled, and he stayed focused on God's call on his heart and his life. He'd been a prisoner down there for 70 years almost, just like all the other folks did and stuff, but he remained true to his God. And those kind of working conditions and those kind of situations, he got elevated because of that, number three man in the land. And the people that knew him, guess what they thought about him? They were jealous, wasn't they? You watch that little smart aleck, you know. They are starting to turn on Daniel and what's happening. So we're going to pick up the story there. It said, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, or governors, to rule throughout the kingdom. All the different places. There'd be somebody at Bendel and Barton and Agricola and Hal and you name it. It was every little part of the territory was going to be covered by these governors. What was their job? To make sure the king got everything that was coming to him. And to build him an empire there, a fortune that he could grow on. And it said he had three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps, or governors, were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer any loss, making sure that he got everything he is supposed to get. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself from among the administrators and the governors by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. He's fixing to get a major promotion. Going to be made to sit over the entire kingdom. No greater honor than what he was going to have. But boy, whenever the other 119 heard about what the king had prepared for him, they got upset. Verse 4 says, at this, the administrators and the governors tried to find fault for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They were looking for a way to get rid of him. They were jealous of him. They envied him. They hated him in some respects because he did such a proficient job and he done it in a manner that the people respected him for it, and he didn't mistreat them along the way. Most of the, all he's talking about here when he's talking about these governors here is what we know as a modern day tax assessor, you know. We all are disgruntled when we go in there to give them our money, don't we? They tell us how much those taxes are, you know, and I always have to have a talk with my supervisor about how mine is. Anything getting high, you better not raise my taxes, you know. But those people, you know, were already disgruntled with them. But old Daniel handled himself in such a way that the people appreciated him and what he was doing here. And this bunch, when they went looking for some charges against him concerning his job, his governorship, over all the affairs of the place there, they couldn't find any. Couldn't find any corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, and pay attention to this, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They couldn't come after him in his job performance and his public life. So they said the only thing that we're going to be able to do is we're going to have to find fault with him concerning the law of his God. And they recognized there was something different about Daniel. They saw in Daniel things that they'd never seen in an individual before that allowed him to be a man of such character and stature in the eyes of the king and everybody that was involved. Darius here is the case here and what he's doing. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Whenever those were thrown into the fiery furnace, when they came out, what did he say about it? No other God like their God, was it? And what was happening in their hearts and their lives? Nebuchadnezzar recognized it in them. Darius is going to recognize it in these here and their hearts and their lives. But he said, we'll never find any basis for charges unless we make up some. Just making a long story short, said we got to bring charges that will allow us to get rid of this nuisance. He's just too smart for his britches. Verse 6 says, so the administrators and the governors went as a group. Hold that thought also, a group, to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. They always had to pay tribute to the king when they went before him. And said the royal administrators, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any other god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. They devised a plan that they knew Daniel would fall right into. They were accustomed to Daniel praying how many times? 3 times a day, didn't it? Morning, noon, and evening. And he would always pray where? Go upstairs in his house, go to the window, open the shutters back, and pray. They were thinking perhaps he was praying to the people, but he wasn't praying. Who was he praying to? His God, that's right. Lifting his head, and they were watching this, and they knew his schedule. And they knew his faithfulness to do that 7 days a week, you know, 365 days a year. He never missed the chance to pray to his God concerning this. And they said, if we can get the king and trick him into signing this edict or this letter or a decree that said anybody that prays to anybody other than their God would be cast into the lion's den. Verse 8 said, now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be what? Altered. Foolproof. They're going to have it. And nothing could change it. In accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Where he made his mistake is he never stopped to think about it. You know, folks a lot of times will ask us to do things, you know, especially me and being a politician, they'll come to me. We want you to write a character letter for us, or we want you to do this, or we want you to do that. Sign this petition, or do this other things over here. And you have to stop, think things through sometimes to see what the real motive is behind it and what they're really trying to do in their hearts and their lives. But old Darius, his old head was about this big, because all of them come to him and said, oh, what a great job you're doing. And said, we want to pay tribute to you. And said, we want to make this decree that for 30 days that anybody that prays to any other god other than you, Darius, you know that he'll be cast into the lion's den. Who was Darius forgetting when he said, all right, that sounds great. I deserve that. Let's do it. Pulls his ring off, puts his stamp on it, and it becomes law. And then what did they say? Aha! We got him now. We got him now. Let's see what happens. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Didn't faze him a bit to go. Why do you think it did not faze him a bit to go home, open those windows, and pray like he did every day before? He knew that his God was able to deliver him. Daniel also knew what? What about his 3 buddies? What had happened to them all? They'd done been through the fire, hadn't they? And they came out without a sprig of the hair on their head being scorched in any way. And God delivered them. Made an impact on old Nebuchadnezzar, didn't it? In his heart and his life. And what they is doing. And their heart and their life. Verse 11 says, then these men went as a group. I told you a while ago to hold that thought. They went as a group and they found Daniel praying and asking God for what? Help. Asking God to help. Now, what could he, being over all the territory, what could he have done? He could have put up a fight, couldn't he? He could have called out to these other 119 governors out there, tell them, I need your help. They made a ploy here to get rid of me. And if I'm your friend, if I've done you well and treated you right, I need you to come help me. And they could have put up a fight. But that ain't what he did he? He didn't change a thing in what he'd been doing. He went right back to praying like he always did. And when they found him, he was praying to God and asking God for help. Why is it that we run to everybody else, and the last one most of the time that we find ourselves going to is who? The only one that can really make a difference in our heart and our life. But we'll find the best lawyer, we'll hunt up the best doctor, surgeon, and people that we can possibly find to take care of our problems and stuff, when really the first place we ought to go is to ask God for his help. So, verse 12 says, they went to the king and they spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands. Yes, I did. When I made that decree, I intended for everybody in the nation to pay homage to me, give me tribute, and to pray to no other god except to me. His pride is really boiling over here and how he has thoughts about himself. Yes, I told them, decree stands. In accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. He couldn't change it if he wanted to, because of the law of the Medes and the Persians, that when a decree like this had been signed, sealed, and delivered, and stamped with the king's ring, is a done deal. Nobody could change it. Verse 13 says, then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. Now, if you have seen anything that we said so far that showed that Daniel didn't pay any attention, he didn't pay any attention to the folks out there that was making up this lie about him. Got the governor tricked into, got the king tricked into declaring this decree and stuff. But he said here that the king, then the men went as a group to the king and said to them, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. And their heart and their life. So when I look at this and I see this, watch what happens in verse 16 here. The king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. Even the unbelievers here witnessed what is happening to Daniel. They knew his contingency to do every day his prayer life and to honor the Lord. And by his faithful devotion to God, the unbelievers could understand about his life. You know, we don't know who watches us sometimes. Who are seeing whether what we claim in our hearts and our lives is real or not. What they do in the life of individuals round about them. And I tell you, a lot of times, and I refer back to it, Ronnie Cunningham sings that little song, "We're the only Bible some people read," you know. All they know about the Lord is what they see, you know. Friday here in that service for Herbie, this house was packed up pretty full. And I watched many people, you know, that Herbie had made an impact on their lives in some way, shape, fashion, and form. But our church also made an impact on their life and showing love and kindness and care for them in their time of sorrow and grief and stuff. Here these folks are, and they're lost. They don't believe in the one true God. They've just taken over the territory. The Babylonians is now prisoners to the Medes and the Persians. Things ain't going as good as it was for the 70 years they had them there to do all their work for them, you know, do all the ironing, all the cooking, all the mopping, all the thing the women did and the men out there laboring, even though they had the right to live in houses and build them and live in them and plant gardens and eat from them and do all the things that Jeremiah told them they could do and stuff. Let's see what happens here in this. The scripture says, "The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.'" The only person there that gave Daniel a chance was who? Darius, what? He said, "May your God." He didn't say our God, he said your God. He recognized Daniel as having the one true God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. They thought they could take a stone, roll it over the entranceway after they had put Daniel into the lion's den, sealed it up. Why do you think they sealed it up? They didn't want Daniel to get out, but they didn't want them lions to get out either. And I can assure you, they had their respect in what they were doing in their hearts and their lives. And so they had it all fixed up. It was a done deal. They had all the paperwork signed, sealed, delivered, the signet put on it, and stone sealed, and they were through. And verse 19, no, 18, it said, "Then the king returned to his palace, and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den." He put up a miserable night, didn't he? He couldn't eat and drink. He couldn't sleep. Didn't want any entertainment. He didn't want them coming in playing the harp or doing any of the things that was ordinarily to the king at that time in their lives. They didn't have no TV. They couldn't watch Jeopardy and Let's Make a Deal and all that stuff, you know. He was just miserable. He could not sleep. And just as soon it cracked on the next morning, he got up and hurried to the lion's den. Why do you think he was in a hurry to get there? He wanted to know something. What did he want to know? Did Daniel's God able to save him? Like I hear that Daniel's God saved them from the fiery furnace. He boogity boogity, he had to go, he wanted to see. And the scripture says that when it came to the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel, is your God, who you've been so faithful to, been able to save you from the lions? Guess what he heard? Old Daniel hollered back. Verse scripture says there, 21, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." He hadn't done anything wrong in the sight of his God, and never had cheated the king out of one red cent in his heart and life. You know, when you shift over to the New Testament, and take a little side note here, why was it that Zacchaeus was so hated? He was a wee little man, small in stature, you know. We sing our little song about him, you know, and things. But when the Lord found him up at sycamore tree and he called out to him and said, "Come down, for I'm going to your house today." And he brought salvation to Zacchaeus and his whole family because of their faith in that. Why was Zacchaeus hated? He had overtaxed the people, that treated them wrong, collected more than he was supposed to do. But what did he tell God? "Lord, if I've done anything wrong, I'll do this and I'll do that." He was going to make everything right that he'd done wrong, wouldn't he? In his heart and his life. Why? Who had he met that day? The Lord. See, he'd run down that street trying to see, and he'd jumping up, hopping, looking over, and trying, couldn't see. So he boogied on down to the end of the street and climbed up that tree. He is determined he is going to see the Lord in his heart and his life. And the Lord was determined he's going to make a difference in Zacchaeus' life for that. Just like Daniel here, because of his faith, God protected him. And he said, "I was found innocent in your sight, and I was found innocent in God's sight. No wrong before you, O king." Verse 23 says that the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. Whew! Load lifted off of him, wasn't it? Why were you thinking that the scripture says that he was overjoyed? What did he have on his hands? An innocent man's blood, didn't he? And why? Because he let his pride get in the way of a good understanding what he needed to do in the life of Daniel. He could have called all this off. He could have avoided this if he had said, "Guys, appreciate you coming, but you're going to have to give me a little time. I got to think about this." If he'd have took time to think about it, what do you think might have happened? God would have not had him, gave him an opportunity to be in such a hurry there. He could have worked that thing out. But he made a mess out of it, but God cleared it up, didn't he? And Daniel was saved. And this old Darius was overjoyed. And he ordered him to take Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. He believed in his heart. He trusted in his God. Hallelujah. You know, it would be so much better in so many people's lives today if they would do like that little song we sing a lot of time, only trust him. Only God can save us. He can make us who we need to be in his heart and his life. At the king's command, I told y'all over here a while ago, hold on to this. Listen what happens. The men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and their children. People tell me all the time, well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. Preacher, wrong. You don't know how far-reaching the effects that you can have on individuals and your family and stuff. What happened with the fiery furnace? You remember? They heated that thing up and it was huffing and a puffing, wasn't it? But when they got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and them out of there, what happened? The heat was so, it sucked them in there, them men that threw them in there. They burned them up. And they're here. These men that tricked Darius into this decree and then badgering him till he enforced it are themselves, along with their wives and their children, thrown into the lion's den. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. I bet they was hoping that the same lions that had lockjaw with Daniel was going to have lockjaw with them, but it didn't happen, did it? They had them a feast with these people in their hearts and their lives. And so many times, the direction that people go in and the decisions they make really not only affects them, but it affects their families as well. And it overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then, the final thing I told you to hold on to a while ago, it said, then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. He had it wrote up in everybody's language where everybody could understand it. There wasn't any problem concerning that. He wrote up some new decrees, and he wrote them to all the people. And he, in his introduction, praised them and said, may you prosper greatly. Darius was a king that wanted his people to prosper. And later we'll see where he did some other things. But in verse 26 here, or 5, one of them, said, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. What a decree. What did they do? Up until this time, all that Daniel had that was watching over him was those that were of Babylonian captivity down there for the 70 years. The other people, when he excelled and his intelligence was such and his mannerism was such that the king recognized there's something special about him and put him over all their people. He saw then his honesty and his bearing everything that belonged to the king and stuff. And he put him over. All these people got jealous. They got upset. They got to thinking, he's one of those that came from Jerusalem. He is a prisoner here. Now he's telling us what we can do in our hearts and our lives. How did Daniel do that? He did it simply by remaining faithful to his God, what he believed in his heart and his life. And the king said that I make a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. And then he describes Daniel's God. Listen what he says. For he is the living God. Would you ever thought an alien king that had done so much damage against Jerusalem and the Jews would ever stand and proclaim he is the living God? He said he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Pretty good decree that he wrote up about the man Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar had come to believe that Daniel's was the God of Israel. And now here is Darius with the same perception here. And I just can't understand how anybody could not believe, having seen what the Lord did for Daniel in the fiery furnace, what he did in the lion's den, and the life that he lived before all those people. What a witness. What a witness. In closing out, getting ready to shift gears now next Sunday night, it says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, who's going to come behind him, the Persians. The Medes and the Persians. I told you earlier, Darius was just there by an appointment. Cyrus is going to come on the scene. And so we'll leave that. Hear very little from him. He's over 80 years old. He's going to go back to Jerusalem. But what we're going to begin now, next Sunday night, is Daniel begins to have some visions and dreams and things, and he didn't understand those things. And so the first one that we'll deal with in Daniel's vision was the four beasts and what the Lord has for us. Those final six chapters will carry us into what we can compare with Revelations and Daniel together, 1 Thessalonians and other places that predictions have been made. And we're living right in those days, and we're seeing those things fulfilled right before our eyes. The shame of it is most of us don't realize what it is and don't know what God's up to in his heart and his life. But he's in control. A lot of people think Trump is. No. I think he's getting some good advice from some key people. And I'm hearing, I didn't know this young man that lost his life at the sniper's bullet. But for Christian people across the country, there's a spiritual awakening going on that I think is going to be an awesome thing for America. I really do. Any question, any comment? Anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Do good. Any other thought? All right. Well, remember, study chapter 7. We'll go right on through the next 6 and see what God has and how we're going to tie it all together. And your thoughts and your ideas. Any other comment? Father, I pray to you tonight, God, that we can have the faith that Daniel had. But God, if pressure gets on and push comes to shove, if we're not careful, we bow out. We go stick our head in the sand somewhere or another. God, I pray that we could each one be found faithful. Thank you to this crew tonight that has dedicated themselves to this study and being here and learning what you have to say to us through that word. God, you know we're facing some things this week health-wise, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll guide my path and lead me to the right people to do the right thing in the right way, as we have to make choices of who we want to do some things. So I just pray you'll just make it very plain to us. Your will be accomplished. Watch over the church and care for them as we go through these few days. God, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory because we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.